Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine Taylor-Klaus with Impact ADHD, and I am thrilled to welcome a guest expert today, a returning guest expert, our friend Ari Tuckman, who is a psychologist and an MBA. Interesting combination. Ari, we are thrilled to have you back.
It's always fun to be here. Always happy to hang out with you.
It is always fun, isn't it? We do have a good time. So let me tell you guys a little bit about Ari. He is a psychologist who's written a bunch of books. He's written Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, More Attention, Less Deficit. And so he's really an established, authoritative voice on understanding ADHD and treatment for ADHD. He's got an interesting podcast. He's a blogger. He's a leader in the industry. We've really gotten to know each other as we spent a couple of years working together as volunteers on the National Board of CHAD, which is a national nonprofit for children and adults with ADD. And he has for several years been co-chairing the CHAD Conference Committee. So he is a saint and a glutton for punishment all at the same time. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty good, actually.
And in addition to that, over the last few years, Ari has really become sort of the go-to person in the ADHD expert community around sex and sexuality and ADHD. He's had additional training in sex therapy. He's not afraid to talk about sex. And so, of course, now everybody wants him to talk about sex and is asking him to talk about sex. And we weren't really going to talk about it today, and then yet here we are talking about sexting, texting, and teens. So I want to welcome you, Ari, to the conversation, and I'm thrilled to be sort of talking about something that we don't talk about enough but is a hugely important topic in our community, you know, parenting children and young adults and teens with ADHD. And so I'm thrilled to welcome you to the conversation and to really get into a conversation that's important to have that can be sort of difficult to have.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, it's one of these things that, like, we all have our cell phones, and we use our cell phones for all sorts of things, and some of them are very kind of, like, pro-social, and, you know, grandma would be proud of us for using it that way. And then, you know, but we also use our cell phones for other kind of, like, more private things that probably we don't want grandma to know about. And, you know, that's especially true when we talk about teenagers who are, you know, kind of glued to their phones and yet don't have the wisdom, maturity, experience, whatever, to sometimes make wise choices about how they use their cell phones and other electronic media. And certainly, you know, sex is like the big topic for all of us, but, you know, it's a big thing for teenagers. They're trying to figure it out. And, you know, the problem is anything done online is potentially forever. So, you know, we all made dumb choices
yeah.
back in the day, but there wasn't, like, you know, photo evidence of it forever Googleable after we, you know, turned 20. So
right.
kids these days have a different situation than we did.
Yeah, very. Well, you know, and what prompted us having this conversation again today, we're talking about sexting, texting, and teens. And what prompted it is, you know, we were talking about something completely unrelated, and just this morning, both of us in our worlds had some stories that were happening in our immediate worlds, you know, working with clients and families around these issues. And they really come up a lot in our community, perhaps more maybe even in the typical community. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, what's great about cell phones or any internet technology these days is that it's instantaneous. You know, like, we can instantly get anything we want, and that's awesome. Except we can also instantly do all sorts of things, and not everything we do online should be preserved for posterity, you know, or as the judge might call it, Exhibit A. So yeah, I mean, it is a double-edged sword, and if one tends to leap before looking, then that's even more problematic.
Yeah, I was thinking impulsivity and instantaneous capturing may not always be a good thing.
Right, that's kind of a tough combination.
It really is.
Yeah.
And so how does this play out in some of the families that you work with and that we work with? Where what are some of the, just a couple of, I don't want to go too deep into the story, but let's get an idea of how this is going to show up in family life or could show up
So, you know, some of it's just the standard run of the mill of like, oh, he or she is always on their cell phone. You know, and there's the battles about, like, when do you need to hand over your cell phone at night? And, you know, no, it's not interfering with my sleep, I swear. And, mm-hmm. you know, all that other stuff. And, of course, I have a million of those conversations in my office, and I'm sure you guys do as well.
Yep.
But, you know, there's also the whole issue of, you know, to really kind of jump into it, I mean, there's that whole sexting thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, sexting is one of those things that, like, is awesome and super fun when adults do it and is kind of creepy and skeeves us out when we think about our kids doing it.
Right.
You know, so there's that kind of bigger context of can we talk about sex with our teenagers or, frankly, our preteens because, you know, it's mm-hmm. not like they wait until they're old enough necessarily. But, you know, so you want to be able to have that open communication with them. But there's also, I mean, there's also the kind of legality issue of it, you know, mm-hmm. that if you're an adult, you can send people naked pictures, and as long as they're, you know, somewhat, you know, like, as long as they're kind of, like, okay with receiving them, so to speak, like, you can't send them to strangers. But, you know, then it's all just kind of harmless fun, and hopefully it's not your work iPhone that, like, the IT guy's, you know, saving copies of. But...
That was a good little pearl,
right.
I just want to say.
Right, exactly. So let's all be mindful of that. But, you know, the problem is with teenagers, including 17-year-olds, this is illegal. Like, it is illegal to take naked pictures of yourself or other people. It's illegal to send those pictures to anyone, including to send it to someone who is also, like, you are a minor taking pictures of yourself, sending it to another minor. It is crazy to say, but this is literally the creation and distribution of child pornography, at least within a legal context. Now, hopefully, most prosecutors, most police officers, prosecutors, and judges would recognize the context of that situation, that, you know, maybe this is just teenagers being stupid in the way teenagers have always been stupid. But, you know, like, you get a couple overzealous folks out there, and, like, things can get really bad really quickly. So I think that we want to be able to have conversations with our teens and our, you know, preteens about these things, not to shame them because it's, of course, natural that they're going to be interested in sex, but to help them understand it, to make better choices, to not be impulsive, to not give in to peer pressure, to not seek validation in problematic ways. But for them to be able to talk to us about it, like, you don't just want to scare the hell out of them because then they just go silent. They don't necessarily stop doing it. They just go silent about talking to you or some other wiser person about it. So they're not getting all their good advice from their peers who don't know anything either.
Yeah, you don't want their favorite source of wisdom to be Google,
right? Right.
You want their wisdom to be a sentient, thinking adult who loves and cares about them.
Yeah.
And and that requires a level of trust and you know, them feeling safe with us in these conversations.
Right, exactly. And mm-hmm. you know, so that safety is built or broken long before the moment of that conversation. You know, so it's like everything mm-hmm. that happened before is what your teen sort of looks at to say, can I bring this up to this other person, whether it's a parent, another adult, a friend, whatever. You know, like, we look at track record to decide, is this a safe topic with this person? And you don't want them to say, I don't know, she may freak out, or maybe he'll ground me or take my cell phone for a month or whatever. Better to just, you know, figure it out on my own. And that's super easy to say. I mean, it's super easy for me to say this, but of course, you know, it's hard to do it. And what's hard is not freaking out and losing it when other things are going on. You know, when our kid does do some other kind of knucklehead thing and we're either worried or we're scared or we're, you know, embarrassed about what they did or whatever. It's like, it's about managing our emotions first. Mm-hmm. So that we can then be present and hear what they've got going on and manage their emotions about it and mm-hmm. be able to come out of it with a decent conversation.
Well, you know, it's interesting as I'm listening to what you're saying, and I think about what's come up in my community, right, in our parenting community, in our private forum, and, you know, our, among our members. We rarely have people, you know, who are taking aim on, I want to learn, I want to think through how I want to talk to my kids about sex. When it comes up because there's been a traumatic incident. I just found out through reading my daughter's text that she's having sex and I didn't know she was, or I just,
right.
my son has been exploding and having all this emotional stuff, and I finally just discovered that he thinks his girlfriend might be pregnant, or, you know, like,
right.
that it comes up after there's already an incident. And if there's sort of a safety in relationship, the kids are going to bring it to the parents and talk about it. That's sort of what you're addressing. And if the kids haven't felt safe talking about it yet, then they're dealing with it on their own. And so I think what I hear you say is, like, how do we create an environment that helps our kids feel safe talking to us?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Exactly. And, I mean, it's easy to say, and we all mean well, but, you know, as parents, as adults, we have our own stresses and struggles and other things going on. So, like, we don't always get it right with our kids. But that's okay. Like, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to make clear that you mean well and that, you know, you're willing to admit some mistakes, or, you know, you're willing to go back and fix it. And that, you know, and that you're not going to make it clear to your kid that you're not going to freak out. I mean, it's sort of like the analogy I always think of. It's sort of like, you know, talking to your teenager about drunk driving and saying, you know, if you are ever in a situation where somebody, where the person driving you has had something to drink, you are always free to call me up any time, day or night. I will come and pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
Never get into the car with a drunk driver. And that's awesome, right? And your kid says, okay,
and,
good.
And feels sort of easy to say, right?
Right, right. And then they
yeah.
do it. And then you ground them for a month, or you lecture them, or you're clearly pissed off. And they're like, gotcha, lesson learned. Don't call dad again.
Don't call dad. Right, yeah.
Right. Take a chance. You know, so, like, it's easy to say the words. The challenge of it, of course, is to manage it in the moment and to manage our emotions and our fears and our anxieties and anger and frustration and disappointment and everything else, you know, so that we can be more consistent. Or after we blow it, to then come back and admit it, you know, and to fix it and say, like, you know what, that wasn't right. You did the right thing by calling me. I did not do the right thing by being pissed at you on the car ride home. You know, I'm worried, I'm scared, something, something, you know, to really be honest about it. But, you know, I will do a better job on the next one. You keep doing the right thing. And
you
hopefully
keep
I'll
calling
do
me.
The better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll do the better thing next time. You were the
yeah.
better
person. In coaching parlance, we call that transparency. And
yeah.
it's a topic we talk about a lot. Just, you know, it's really okay to look human in front of your kids.
Right.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that this should really start with preteens, not teens. So sort of what age and what would you consider sort of age-appropriate conversation for that age, for parents to start opening up these conversations about sexting and texting and caution?
You know, yeah, I mean, it's hard to put a number on it because it depends on the kid, kind of what's their interest level, what's their maturity level. It depends, is it an only kid, or is this your oldest, or is this your youngest, you know? Because the younger siblings tend to learn things from the older siblings, like it or not. So, you know, the younger sometimes develop a little bit young, you know, earlier in these ways because they're exposed to things earlier than the older siblings are. So I think you just got to kind of keep an eye on it and kind of, you know, overhear what is being said. And, you know, especially when they don't think you're listening. And to talk to the other parents. I mean, this is just good advice anyway of, like, you know,
yeah.
to share information and to check in on things and what are you seeing and here's what I heard. And not like in a crazy snooping kind of a way, but just in a, like, you know, the more eyes we got, the better it works out. And, you know, it's a matter of having it kind of developmentally appropriate, which, you know, it's hard to know what exactly that means. But, you know.
Especially when our kids have complex issues, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, to kind of meet your kid where they're at, or maybe
mm-hmm.
just lightly in front of them.
Lightly in front. So I want to pause for a second because, believe it or not, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to give you a chance to tell us a little bit about a place you want to direct parents for some useful, helpful information, and then I want to come back and sort of finish this conversation.
Sure.
So I know you've got some great books and some great resources, but you wanted to use your time to talk about something else.
Yeah, I wanted to actually kind of put a word in for the upcoming CHAD conference, and we are going to be in Elaine in your backyard in Atlanta. We're back
yes,
in Atlanta.
Yes, we are.
Which is awesome. I'm looking forward to some good Southern food. And we're going to be there November 9th to the 12th, and this year CHAD is partnering.
2017. I just want to be clear because some people may hear this in the future, so we're talking about CHAD 2017. But there's always a CHAD conference in November, so whatever year you're listening to. Right?
Every year in November there's another conference that just moves around where it is, so we give everybody the opportunity of a short flight. Or hopefully a quick drive, even better. But, so we have tons of speakers talking about all sorts of stuff related to ADHD, about kids, about adults, for clinicians, for coaches, for everybody. I'm doing a session on how do I know, if my teenager is ready for college, which is a popular topic of discussion in my office. So, that's one of the sessions I'm doing. There's other people doing lots of
great sessions. We're doing one on stopping yelling, I think, this year. Yep. How do I stop yelling? And another one on how do I deal with technology, which is a big issue these days.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yep. So there's some other people doing stuff on technology as well, because that's a big topic. So, I think it's good. I mean, CHAD's always fun. It's great to see everybody. There's all the best speakers. There's all sorts of interesting stuff. You can, all the people that you kind of read their stuff or watch their videos or listen to their podcasts or whatever, you see them in the hallway and they're just hanging out and you can go up and talk to them and whatever. So I think that's pretty cool. Like, it's a very accessible bunch of people who show up at the conference. So it makes it well worth your time to get out there.
Absolutely. So they can find out more about that at CHAD.org?
Yep.
Or is there any other particular conference site you want to send?
Yeah, I think so. CHADD.org. If you go there, you'll see it right on the homepage. Click on that, and then, away we go.
Awesome. Great. Okay, so we have a couple minutes left, and I want to go back to this issue of you were clear about sort of making sure that you're talking developmentally appropriately to our kids. What are some of the early messages that parents may want to communicate around this? I guess I want to tie it in between what the kids' challenges are, whether it's impulsivity or whatever, and also around these issues of sexuality and texting and that. What are a couple of key messages parents want to make sure they hit?
I think when it comes to impulsivity, really the advice of, think twice before you do it is worthless advice, because that's kind of the reverse of what impulsive behavior is, right? Impulsivity by definition is leaping before you look. So instead, manage the environment, manage what leads up to it. And I think it's easier to be less impulsive in a less tempting or distracting an environment. And I think also, for parents that, if you need to kind of oversee your teen's accounts, social media accounts, then you do. Like, if that is what it is, but don't sneak it. Don't tell them that you're not, but then actually do it. But, just be open. Like, look, I'm following you on all your social media, so I'm going to see what's going on. Or potentially I'm going to have the access to your accounts. Maybe if it's a younger teenager, you can get away with this slightly more. And I'm just going to see what's happening. And, my advice to teenagers on this is make it really boring for your parents to check your social media. Because if it's exciting and interesting, they will keep coming back. Make it boring.
Yeah.
Nothing good.
I love that.
Right? And then, because mom and dad got better things to do than look at your social media, no offense. So, make it as boring as possible, and they will leave you alone and go do other things. If you make it interesting, you cannot blame them for continuing to come back, because you are drawing them in on a silver platter.
I love that. That's a great message to tell your kids, actually. Make it boring for me to follow your social media, but I'm going to follow your social media.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing I like to talk about is sort of raising that awareness to their impulsivity. Look, this is an issue you struggle with. You know that this is a challenge for you. So, we want to begin to invite them not to put themselves in situations where they're going to get themselves in trouble, right? Is to really raise their awareness that ultimately it's theirs to manage.
Right.
And we want to teach them, give them the skills to begin to do that.
Yeah, and when situations come up, hopefully smaller ones, you know, like there are discussion opportunities. Let's talk about it. What happened there? You know, why did you do this? Why do you think they did that? What else could you have done if we were to rewind this and go back in time? How would you have handled it different? You know, so that they're always learning opportunities. And it's less about the punishing, although, you know, consequences sometimes need to happen. But it's more important is that you're kind of learning something from it. So it's just generally kind of teaching that mindset of always learning from the experiences that you've had.
Yeah, exactly. We always talk about in terms of what worked, what didn't work, and then what would you do differently. So you're starting with keeping them off the defensive. And we're sort of at time, but I do want to just sort of push any particular messages about sex and sexuality that you think would be helpful for parents, particularly to focus on preteens or early teens.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, my advice is to not put your head in the sand and to not assume that, you know, this is not relevant to your kid, because it might be, you know, and if it's not something that they themselves are doing, it's something that other people are doing, or at least lots of other people are talking about. And you know, like, you want your kid to be ready for it. I mean, it's uncomfortable to think about our, you know, preteens being sexual or anything, but the curiosity is there. And it's a totally normal thing to be curious. But just because we're curious doesn't mean we have to act on it, you know, so that we can separate those two out. And, you know, that sex is something that's better. It's a more enjoyable experience when it's done by people who are ready for whatever it is that they're doing, whether that means physically, relationally, emotionally, whatever. You know, so it's not that they'll never have sex, but you just don't want them to be doing things before they're ready to do it. And depending on where in the country you live, you cannot count on, you know, the school sex ed being either sufficient or in some cases even accurate. Now, the
accurate
fact that, you know, we have states in this country where it is not legally required that sex ed information be accurate. Like, are you really accurate? Is that too high a bar that for us to set? So, so, you know, but whether or not they're doing it at school, as parents, we still need to do it. You know, and to be that sounding board for our kids and to be able to answer questions, because exactly like you said, God help you if Google is a place you're getting this information.
Yeah. Yeah. And so really being open, being transparent about when you react in a way you might not want to, you know, talking about, you know, normalizing that sex and sexuality is going to be a part of everybody's life, hopefully, and that we want them to make conscious and thoughtful decisions about it and to wait until they're ready to really engage. And in terms of connecting it to technology, to really remember that there's more permanence there than they realize. You know, somebody said to me the other day, you should just, if you think your kids are going to go there, just give them a Polaroid. Take away the cell phone.
Right, exactly.
So to really be mindful of what the risks are there. And it's hard because they don't feel like it's going to hit them.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, you can use the opportunity of other things that are coming up that unfortunately other kids have done. You know, like, let's talk about how did that work out? You know, how is that person being seen? What effect did that have on other friends? How does that affect their social standing positively and negatively? You know, so we can always do that. And this is the part where it's kind of helpful to be kind of aware of what's going on in your kid's life. And, you know, with their closest friends, with their more distant friends, with the, you know, larger social group at school. And, you know, like, this is some of where kind of checking in on social media can be helpful to kind of find out about some of these other things that are going on in the bigger picture. But, you know, you want to have a relationship where your kid can bring this stuff up. That's easier said than done, but you want to be able to have that kind of a relationship so they can learn vicariously from the experiences of others.
In a safe and sort of neutral environment where they're supported. Yeah.
Right, right.
All right. And believe it or not, we are well over time. So I'm going to say thank you, Ari, as always, for your presence and for your wisdom and for your flexibility in changing topics at the last minute to speak to what here in the space.
Yeah.
Any words of parting words of wisdom?
I guess just, I don't know, keep coming back, I think. You know, keep coming back to this podcast, keep coming back to those conversations with your kid, whatever happened the last time.
Yeah, that's great. Super. So, again, our guest is Dr. Ari Tuckman, who is a leader in the ADHD space, has written a number of books, who's the coordinator of the upcoming CHAD conference, and is the sort of rising guru on ADHD and sexuality. So for more, you can Google Dr. Ari Tuckman or check him out on Impact ADHD, where he's written a number of pieces for us, and there's a lot of information for him there as well. And you can access his books from the website on impactadhd.com's recommended reading list as well. So again, thanks for being here, and it was a great conversation as always, and I appreciate it. And take care, everybody. We will see you the next time.
Thank you.